I hope that pickleball doesn't go indoors. Indoors, you really do feel like the ball is moving faster. And I think the game's already gotten so much faster than it was. So that's another reason why I like playing outdoors, because I don't want the game to get much faster. Like, I like the nuance of pickleball, because wind really does affect it. And especially with gust, right when you hit the ball, it could gust, it could move, you know?
Let's deal with some conditions. I don't want us to get to the point where we're so like, it needs to be perfect. We like make a stink about 15 mile an hour winds. But like to say it needs to be indoors if we're not gonna deal with any wind, to me is like so lame.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pickleball Connection Podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
We're super excited to hang out with you today. As always, we're going to kind of discuss some of the pickleball news and kind of hot button topics, as well as we have a really fun segment toward the back half. I'm really excited. But without wasting any more time, let's just get right into it.
So the first thing that I kind of want to talk through is the Texas Open. So I know that they kind of had a break on tour, but I feel like it's still relevant because the forecast shows that the Red Rock tournament that's this week is going to have similar conditions.
Really? And I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. And by weather conditions, I mean wind. So if you guys didn't go back and watch any of the Texas Open tournament, there actually were quite a few upsets and quite a few crazy points, not because of the players, but because of the weather. So I think to my knowledge, it was like upwards 20 to 30 mile per hour winds.
Yeah, I even saw, 20 to 30 and then, you know, gusts into the mid 30s.
Yeah. Which, you know, obviously if you've played pickleball, I'm sure that you haven't had perfect weather conditions every single time you've played. But have you ever played pickleball in, let's say, mid 20 to 30 mile per hour winds?
I've tried. I remember... you know, when we first got married, we lived in West Texas and it was kind of COVID, and, you know, what brought us out to West Texas is irrelevant, but it was a super windy environment. So I had to monitor the wind a lot more, and it still gets windy here in Florida, depending on the season. But I actually had really studied what are the ideal wind or weather conditions, or what's the threshold?
Yeah, like what's too much?
And I felt like the moment it gets 17 mile per hour winds or greater, it changes the game to just not being very fun anymore to me, because rallies aren't as long. And I don't know. I would always opt out if winds were 17 miles per hour or above when we lived in West Texas. But right. I do think it's different, like gust versus like consistent wind.
Yeah.
But still, what about you?
No, I would agree. It's crazy because like a little wind, you're like, okay, whatever. Everybody's got to deal with it. But when you have significant wind upwards in the 20s, especially mid 20s, the game is, it's like you're not even playing pickleball anymore. You're playing like, let me just hit it in the court. Let me figure out how to like hit it so it doesn't gust out. Because if you think about a wiffle ball, pickleball, whatever you want to call it, it's very affected by the wind. It doesn't weigh a ton. It has holes in it. It just gets affected real easily. So a lot of pros were having a very hard time this past weekend.
Oh, I saw like swings and misses.
Exactly.
Like complete whiffs.
Whiffs. Yeah. And like, you know, talking to the ref, basically saying like, we can't play this. Can we go indoors? Like, and there were these crazy, crazy upsets. So I guess my question is, one, do you think that pickleball should be strictly an indoor sport to eliminate wind? Or two, do you think that like wind is wind and professionals should just be able to play with, in it because they're professionals. And because obviously spectators are buying tickets for the events. If they postpone it, spectators lose out on the money, XYZ. Or do you think that, you know, it can be played outside, but those events should be rescheduled regardless of maybe broadcasting opportunities or spectators missing out on the events?
Yeah, you know, personally, I hope that pickleball doesn't go indoors. Yeah. You know, like I actually prefer playing outdoors. I don't know if it's just the sunshine or I don't know, playing indoors, you really do feel like the ball is moving faster. And I think the game's already gotten so much faster than it was. So that's another reason why I like playing outdoors, because I don't want the game to get much faster. Like, I like the nuance of pickleball. But I understand it, you know, because wind really does affect it. And, you know, you're trying to figure out on these professional tours, who is the best players, who are the best teams and who are the best players. And so when you have something like wind, we saw in this last tournament, when it's extreme wind, it really does kind of even the playing field too much. Mm-hmm. But you also have to have things like mental fortitude and toughness, and you see those teams, and so maybe it's good that those teams are getting rewarded finally for their mental toughness. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we saw lots of upsets, and I think wind kind of like evens the playing field a little bit, but it also just kind of, it just completely changes the game.
Yeah,
because you don't really know, especially with gust.
Oh my gosh,
you don't really know, like, right when you hit the ball, it could gust, it could move, you know. And I've had that happen where even I was playing in windy conditions that were so windy that it like blew my paddle. Like, as I was pulling my paddle back, it was like I was like fighting the wind, you know. So I don't know. Do you think pickleball will go indoors, like for good? Or?
I'm with you. I hope it doesn't. I've heard pros say, well, it needs to go indoors, but I'm just like, no, like, Let's deal with some conditions, you know? Yeah, I get it.
Do you feel like, would there ever be like, obviously you can't play pickleball when it's raining because it's wet, but do you feel like there should be some baseline like threshold? Because
I do. And I think that there used to be on tour, but.
Because I saw a professional match where I was watching from this past tournament, and one of the players tried to go over to the ref and get them to stop, stop the match, because she thought the wind was just creating too unfair of an advantage. Like, she was like, I'm not playing in this.
Yeah.
And the refs kind of were like, yeah, we are. We're playing in it. But like, if there's an actual threshold, like if constant wind is above 20 or gusts are above 30, we postpone. I don't know.
I think that is more reasonable to me, but like to say it needs to be indoors and we're not going to deal with any wind to me is like so lame. Like, you know, yeah, I agree. Trust me, I've played in condition. We've played in like 27 constant wind, and it's horrendous. It's not fun. It's very hard to play. I understand that, but I don't want us to get to the point where we're so like, it needs to be perfect. We like make a stink about 15 mile an hour winds. Yeah. That's dumb.
Yeah. I mean, like, to be honest, we've played in, there's one venue in particular in Florida on the East Coast side, like the Daytona Beach area. It feels like every time we play,
it's always windy.
It's always windy.
It's a side wind too.
And I don't love it. But again, like, you have to deal with it the same way the other players do.
Everybody's got to deal with it. I will say, I do think this will be my hot take. I do think they should switch at 6 every game. When it's windy.
So like, let's say winds are over 20 miles per hour. It's an automatic side switch at 6 for every game.
Yeah, because some games, you know, a game can last 30 minutes if it's a long game. Mm-hmm. So what if you play one long game where you're at the whole disadvantage and then 30 minutes passes and the wind dies down?
Oh yeah. You're saying, yeah, if the wind were to change.
I don't know. That's my hot take. We should switch at 6 every time.
Do you prefer... Would you rather play let's take side wind out, but like, would you rather play like against the wind or with the wind?
I'd rather play against the wind.
Like hitting into the wind versus having it at your back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you can be a little bit more free with your shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, but let us know in the comments, like, do you think pickleball should be indoors indefinitely? And do you kind of have a threshold on when you'll play or when you'll choose to stay at home based off of what the wind is, or do you even know? We'd be very curious to hear what you guys have to say in the comments. But ready to go to the next one, or do you have anything else on wind?
Mm-mm.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so going on to this next section, I'm pretty excited about this. This is a cool little article that I found, or kind of an excerpt from an article that I found. There's a pickleball coach who created this kind of chart, charting the differences between what she's calling the classic game of pickleball versus the modern game of pickleball. And you and I have talked about countless times on this podcast, and I've heard it amongst other podcasts in the space. The game has changed so much.
Yeah. And reminder, we've been playing pickleball since fall of 2019.
Is it? I think it was summer 2019. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's a couple months.
No, fall.
Okay.
Fall of 2019 is when we started playing.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, you know, 5 years, five and a half.
5.5 years. And the game has wildly changed in that time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we've brought it up, how there's a lot of different things that are reasons the game's changing. A lot has to do with paddle technology and what you can do with the ball, how hard you can hit it, how much spin you can implement. You can keep certain balls in that you just couldn't keep mm-hmm. in swinging that hard just 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey guys, real quick, I did just want to take a minute to mention Selkirk's newly released Court Strike and Court Strike Pro pickleball shoes. The reason I love these pickleball shoes so much is because they were specifically designed and engineered just for pickleball. Now, shoes I was kind of playing with in the past were made for tennis or other racket sports, or I even made the kind of amateur and rookie mistake for a while to play pickleball in tennis shoes. And honestly, that just didn't end well. So the fact that these shoes were so thoughtfully designed for pickleball, it was really comforting to me. Not only that, they're really comfortable out of the box and they provide great lateral support for that lateral movement that we all need in pickleball. So if you're interested in getting yourself some of the new Court Strike or Court Strike Pro pickleball shoes, head over to selkirk.com and get your favorite color and your size today. So I'm going to read some of these and kind of tell me if you agree or tell me if there's something that you would add.
Okay.
So the first one that they break down is the serve. They say in the classic game, meaning I'm assuming they mean like 4 or 5 years ago.
We're going to call it that.
In the classic game, the serve is a simple shot to start the game. And in the modern game, the serve is a deep, hard drive, often with topspin. Ideally, you want to make your opponent move and hit to their weakness. Do you believe that the serve has evolved a ton since you first started playing?
Absolutely. I think
there are still a few pros, and I mean a very few amount that I see that just kind of get the serve in.
Yeah.
Now I would say it's like 99% of pros are going for the serve.
The serve has become a setup shot instead of just a let's start the rally shot. Like when we started, it really was like, this is just how we start the rally. And now, you know, we have players like, you know, Will Howes, Dekel Barr, or even, who's I watching the other day that I was like, dude, his serve is crazy. But we have these people that...
Oh, Eric Onsen.
Eric Onsen.
Yeah, it's kind of an up-and-comer.
Yeah. Their serves are setup shots is what they are. It is 1,000% super offensive. And... yeah, I mean, especially in singles. I mean, and these people are doing it in doubles too. Like it's, yeah, the serve has wildly changed in my opinion in the last 5 years.
Do you like how the serve has changed? Like, do you think it should be a weapon?
I think it should be a weapon, but I don't think that, you know, hitting a flat, hard serve is good because then the rallies are like 2 shots long.
Right.
So I think it needs to be a clear, which is what the PPA is struggling with, down to up motion. Mm-hmm. And
like low to high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I would agree. Discussion. I would agree. Yeah, the serve's definitely changed. The next shot that they talk about that's changed from the classic game of pickleball to the modern game of pickleball is in the classic game, you saw a third shot drop. Mm-hmm. In the modern game, you just see simply a drop shot. So they're taking off that third and basically saying it's no longer called the third shot drop. And it's not done as frequently during the game. Often these days, it's the fifth shot that's dropped. So what do they kind of mean by this?
Yeah, so it is interesting. I do agree with this. So when we started playing pickleball 5 years ago.
Almost six years ago.
That's insane. When we started playing pickleball almost 6 years ago, the third shot drop was literally a necessary shot to learn.
Remember us going home and like watching YouTube videos, like it was like the shot. I was like, I will master this.
It was literally I don't want to say, I mean, maybe I would say this. It was kind of frowned upon to just hit hard shots from the baseline. Like people would tell me, I remember, like you need to hit a third shot drop there. That's like, that was basically the rite of passage for the game. And that has, you know, wildly changed, especially with the waters coming into play. I feel like they actually were a huge pivotal change in that style of play back in like probably 2021. Anna Lee Waters and her mom started actually making finals by driving the ball a lot. And it really kind of started the drive era of pickleball, which I feel like has finally stuck with the technology of paddles and everything else. Yeah, I think a drop shot is important, but it's not nearly as seen as necessary as it was. It was literally necessary 6 years ago to hit a drop. Now I would teach a drive over a drop.
Yep, and I like the distinction here. They say in the modern game, there's still a drop shot, but it's not, when it was taught to us, it was the third shot drop.
Third shot drop, you have to hit it. If you don't hit a drop, you're literally playing wrong.
And this is kind of pointing out that now drop shots are definitely still are necessary. They definitely still exist, but it's not just always something that you're going to hit on the third shot. A lot of times you see at the more advanced level, they perfect this like 60% dipping drive. And their goal is not to hit a winner. It's not even to create a pop-up. If that happens, then great. The goal is to get a response from your opponents where they can't do much with it because it's dipping over the net. They're going to kind of block it back into the transition zone. You're going to come up, drop the fifth one very easily from transition, a much easier drop than if you would have tried the third one, and you're up to the line. Drive, drop, and you're up. That's kind of what you see at the professional level a lot more now. Mm-hmm. I personally like this, you know, even with the changing of paddle technology and things like that and how the game's evolved, I think it's just, it creates a different element. You know, I like working on drive the third, drop the fifth, and get up, you know, it, as opposed to feeling like locked into just driving or just dropping. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the next one that they said. You have any other thoughts there?
No, I just agree.
The next one that they said is in the classic game, drop shots must land in the non-volley zone, aka kitchen. In the modern game, drop shots should land at your opponent's feet, even if they are a couple inches or feet behind the kitchen line, aka a hot drop. You know, it's like more of like a drip, what we would call like a drive drop combo. Do you agree with that one?
Yeah, I would agree. But I would say, like, I do feel like then that was still the goal of good drops.
Right. To like create pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just what a good drop in general would result in.
Yeah. Next one was kind of interesting. They brought it up in two different ways. And they were talking about like the ready position.
Okay.
Not just on the ready position, but also in like tracking the ball. So they basically said that like when you're in the ready position in the classic game, your shoulders are kind of like squared up to the net, paddles up, weight evenly distributed. And now in the modern game, it's more of this paddle tracking. So where your weight is kind of forward and you're constantly shifting your weight or swaying and moving the paddle to like face where the ball is on the court. Do you agree with that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I'm having a hard time remembering if that wasn't like that then.
Yeah, I think I did learn later that you kind of want to turn your shoulders and track the ball. I think I did maybe play a little bit more squared now that I'm thinking about it.
My memory could just be bad.
I mean, I think it's more so like how the game, I wonder if I were to read more about the end of this article, but kind of how the game is taught even, not just how it's played, but like, I remember I was taught a certain way and like you, to your point, you would teach a drive to someone that's just learning out.
Today I would.
Learning. Yeah. Where that was like the last thing you taught to somebody a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Be predictable versus being unpredictable. So they're saying like in the classic game, you kind of want to be predictable. You kind of want to just be steady. And you have to be more unpredictable and innovative in the modern game. Dinking in the classic game, you're basically trying to hit repeatedly and just dink until somebody else makes an error.
Yes, this is so true.
And they said a lot of times it'd be like 10 plus dinks in per rally. They say in the modern game, dinking is a shot either hit left, right, or center. And then there's probably 2 to 4 times per in between volleys. So it's like,
Yeah, so this is so true. This is maybe one of the biggest differences I've seen. So you guys all, if you're on like social media, you've seen like highlight reels of the pros' crazy points. And now they're like, you have firefights, you have like these crazy points. And yeah, you had some of that, but like the crazy highlight reels I remember from 2020 or, you know, this era were like, this was a 135 shot rally. And it's like literally 128 dinks.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Like,
literally, do you remember this?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, with paddle technology, like, you go back 4 years, and if you're dinking nice and shallow, you cannot do anything else.
You can't attack it. You cannot attack it because it's going to either go out or in the net. You didn't have the grit.
Today, even if they give you like a shallow dink, you could still kind of roll it and you won't be able to hit it that hard, but you can apply enough topspin to create pressure and keep it in. And you could not do that.
Dude, but I remember like watching those highlight reels and being like on the edge of my seat, just watching 128 dinks in a row and being like, this is crazy. And yeah, there's something really special about that time. But
yeah, I do love the nuance of like the long.
I love a long dink rally still. I kind of miss that a little bit now.
Okay, so this one says, I don't know if this is referring more to singles or doubles as well, but in the classic game of pickleball, it was serve, return, run to the net. But in the modern game, she's saying it's serve, return, and assess. Meaning like serve, return, and then assess, do I run in or do I stay back?
That has to be singles.
It does. It definitely feels more like singles.
I don't know why you'd ever assess in doubles.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering. Let's see. She's saying assess your return. Was it a successful drop or drive? And then work your way up. So I don't know. Maybe she's talking about like kind of reading the ball and is it a good drop? Is it a good drive? But anyways, maybe that's more for singles. She says in the classic game, always hit down the middle because this is the highest percentage shot. In the modern game, you have to be more unpredictable and learn to play the entire court. Anyways, there's a lot of them that are kind of, you know, a lot of ways, a lot of different shots that have changed. We'll link this article in the description below if you guys want to go take a look at it. It is pretty fascinating, but it's just wild how the game has changed. And I am very curious, like, where are we on this, like, progression? Like, is the game 5 years from now? Because we're talking about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Is the game 5 years from now going to look completely different than it does today? Or are we kind of, like, getting into that sweet spot area of like, this is what pickleball is going to look like?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I'm definitely curious. Like we've said, the game has gotten a lot faster. The technology has gotten a lot faster. I feel like a lot of people have raised voices and concerns about it being so fast, but it's like, are we too late past the threshold to ever slow it down again?
Right.
You know,
but guys, if you guys are listening to this podcast and you started playing 3 to 4+ years ago, so let's just say if you've been playing pickleball for over 3 years, let us know in the comments what has changed from when you first started playing to today. And maybe it's paddle technology, maybe it's something that we missed, or maybe you agree with some of the points that we kind of shared from this article. But it's super fascinating to think about how this game has changed and maybe even think forward to where it will go. But that's about all I got. You got any other things to leave them with? Mm-mm. Guys, please do like and subscribe. Leave your questions in the comments. We do like to do kind of Q&A style podcast when we do get your questions in the comments. It can be anything related to pickleball. Go ahead and leave it in the comments below, and we'll try to get to them on a future episode. Be sure to hit the bell notification so you don't miss when our next podcast comes out, and we will see you on the next one.